Rise and shine. This is your morning buzzcast for Wednesday, January 10th. I'm Austin Karp. Hard to believe we're already into double digits in January, which means, yes, it's okay to wonder when your neighbors are going to take down some of their holiday decorations. But I digress. Let's move on to sports business. It wasn't going to take much to top the audience numbers from last year's CFP title game blowout when Georgia trounced TCU 65-7. Never good for the numbers. But ESPN did just that with Michigan-Washington this year, drawing 25 million viewers on Monday night. That's a 45% uptick from the Dogs and the Horned Frogs last year. This year's number includes a Pat McAfee-led alternate telecast on ESPN2 and the Command Center on ESPNU. It's a very solid audience for the folks in Bristol. Would have been among the top 40 among all telecasts in 2023. And the audience for the CFP title game is on par with something like the State of the Union address. It's also 2 million viewers shy of what Michigan-Alabama drew in the CFP semifinal in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. We've now had 10 title games in the college football playoff era, and Wolverines Huskies ranks number 7 on that list. The 10 games overall since 2015 have averaged 24.8 million viewers, with the event exclusively on cable TV. Given what we've seen in terms of a remigration of many telecasts back to broadcast TV, I'd expect the next CFP deal, which looks like it could be close, and should it stay with ESPN, I expect that to have a healthy dose of ABC involved with the championship broadcast in particular. We've seen more and more events appearing on broadcast TV again. Think Monday Night Football simulcast or a new slate of Wednesday night ABC NBA games in January. Now think back to the BCS era. Those 16 title games included championships on ESPN, but also ABC and Fox. And those 16 games were a little higher at around 26.7 million viewers on average. So keep an eye on what the schedule is going to look like in terms of broadcasters when the 12-team playoff begins next season. Let's stick with numbers for right now. This time, the NFL regular season. And it was a big one for the Shield. The best season since 2015 at an average of around 17.9 million viewers. That's also tied for the second best on record with 2010. Yes, you got to give some credit to the addition of out-of-home measurement. You got to give some credit to Monday Night Football tripling the number of games that aired on ABC this season. But the state of the NFL viewership is strong. The top package was against Sunday Night Football. NBC saw its best average for that since 2015, 21.4 million viewers there. The best individual window this season belonged to CBS. The Tiffany Network's 4:30 p.m. national windows on Sunday averaged 24.6 million viewers. That was just 15,000 viewers ahead of what Fox averaged in the same window. Very close race this year. It's the first time CBS has actually topped Fox in a number of years. What happened? Fox kind of got stung with some very lopsided matchups in the overwhelming majority of their national windows, so that did hurt a little bit. But even though CBS was ahead, Fox still saw a 2% uptick for that 4:30 national window, albeit Fox was down 2% overall when you include the rest of their games. That national window for CBS helped the network to its best NFL season since returning as a media partner in 1998. We already knew that Amazon was up for year two of its Thursday Night Football package, a big game there for Prime Video, but there's still plenty of work to do on Thursday night if they want to get even close to where Fox and NFL Network were with that same Thursday package back in 2021. The biggest game for the NFL this season was easily Monday Night Football, plus 29% on the season. Even with a couple of overlapping games this season, something they experimented with. The difference maker was that addition of ABC simulcast for almost every Monday night game this season. It was a huge boost for the team out of Bristol. Overall, the viewership was a great story for the NFL on Tuesday, and we're supposed to be at a time when the league is focused on the playoffs and the buildup to the Super Bowl, but my colleague Terry Lefton yesterday also reported that the league was offering voluntary buyouts to 200-plus tenured league employees at NFL HQ in Manhattan. It was unclear precisely what was prompting the action or how many positions the NFL was actually looking to eliminate. NFL Network already laid off 5% of its workforce back in March 2023. Employees at the NFL have until February to take the buyout. Some other quick hitters to wrap things up. There's some ownership drama that could be starting down in Houston as Kerry McNair, one of the sons of Texans owner Janice McNair, submitted an application of guardianship over 87-year-old Janice, who is opposing the application. Also opposing it is Cal McNair, who serves as chair and CEO of the NFL team. This is ahead of the Texans playing this weekend in the wildcard round, which is their first playoff appearance since 2019. Bruin Capital is in the final stages of negotiating an agreement to sell its 80% stake in marketing agency Two Circles to British private equity firm Charterhouse Capital Partners at a valuation of $317 million. That would represent an increase of 650% since George Pines Bruin first bought in at a $42 million valuation at the end of 2019. Looks like Heat Culture is staying intact down in South Beach, as Eric Spoelstra has a new 8-year, $120 million contract to remain as coach. That is the most committed money in North American coaching history. Still, on an annual basis, Spoelstra will be behind Greg Popovich in San Antonio in terms of what he's making. And speaking of basketball, I'm going to be definitely taking advantage of NBA League Pass tonight. First place in the East versus first place in the West as the T-Wolves take on the Celtics. The basketball junkie me wants to catch this one. It's not a national TV game. That's Pelican Warriors on ABC and Nuggets Jazz on ESPN. I think the Wolves will really need to make a postseason run before they can become a national TV magnet like some of the other teams out there. But they are good, and I am really looking forward to watching this one. So that's your morning buzzcast for Wednesday, January 10th. I'm Austin Karp. Aide Matt Gore is back tomorrow. Have a great rest of the week.